In the message last week, I shared a quote from Vance Havner that said, if the devil ain't bothering you, it's because you ain't bothering him. I'm going to tell you very seriously this morning, I think we're doing something right because I think Satan's been working this week. From the sound system this morning it's just been one of those weeks for me where there's been distraction after distraction after distraction, and just as I sit down to study and the phone rings off the hook and both lines ringing at the same time and different people stopping by and sitting in my office that, I just don't have time for 2 hours right now. And one of those weeks. And Christy and I were laying in bed last night and we were just talking, and she says, that after that message on prayer last week, this has been my worst week for prayer in a long time. Because there's this after this after this. This morning, I got up early this morning, a little after 7. I wanted to come into the church and review my message and get through everything and open my door, and somebody broke into my truck overnight. So I had to wait for the police to show up. And, it's just one of those weeks. And part of me just feels like, let's just go home. But part of me says, you know what? We're doing something right. Because Satan's working. A number of years ago, I preached a series on Satan at Deckerville Bible Church, about 12 weeks, on Satan the Deceiver. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I have the courage to preach that series again. I've never been attacked in my life. If you don't believe Satan's real, stand up against Satan. Preach against Satan, and you see how real he is. And so this morning, what we're talking about is important, because we're talking about the Word of God. Know the Bible for an answer. There was a man by the name of Joshua Crowe, and he was a Bible student. He was interning at a church in Chicago, and to make ends meet, he was working three different odd jobs. And one day, he was in a room with two women, and they were stuffing envelopes. And it's not something you have to think a lot about, so you can talk and interact. And so he tried to steer the conversation towards God. And one of the women just stopped him short when she looked directly at him. She says, of all the religions in the world, what makes you think you know what's right? What makes you think this God you believe in is really God? And being a diligent student of the Word of God, he could defend his faith. He could point out different scriptures, and he could talk about how scriptures fulfilled itself. And he shared all those things. But think about that. If you were in that conversation, what would happen if you were asked that question? Would you be ready to answer? Turn with me. I'm going to have you look at a couple different passages this morning. I'm going to read several to you without having you turn. But turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Because I guarantee you, if you, listening this morning, you're truly a child of God, you've received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you belong to Him, if you have any desire to live for Him, if you're faithful in going to church, all those things, somebody someday is going to ask you a question. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Always being ready to give a defense, to give an answer for that hope that's in you. Being confident as a Christian depends on having a firm and faithful grasp on God's Word. We have to be in the Word of God to develop that unshakable faith. One man rightly said, success or failure in the Christian life is dependent on how much of the Bible you get into your mind on a regular basis and how obedient you are to it. Success or failure in the Christian life is dependent on how much of God's Word you get into your mind on a regular basis and how obedient you are to it. Now this morning we're going to think about four things about knowing the Bible for an answer. Number one, knowing God's Word gives assurance of salvation. Knowing God's Word gives assurance of salvation. The Bible has a lot of benefits, and obviously we're just, again, lightly touching this topic this morning, but knowing God's Word gives us assurance of our salvation. Now, if you are like I am, this has probably been true in your life. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life when I was a child, when I was 6 years old. And I don't have any doubt in my mind that's the day Christ came into my life. But there were years and years and years as a child, especially when I doubted my salvation. Right, how many of you had that same experience where you'd lay in bed at night and you'd pray again, God, I just want to make sure. God, if I'm not your child, please, I give you my heart. How many of you that was true in your life? You know, over and over again. You know, I can honestly say I can't remember the last time I had that doubt. Because as I grow in Christ, as I grow in the knowledge of His Word, He gives us that assurance of salvation. We can't help others come to Christ if we're insecure in our relationship with Christ, if we don't know if we really belong to Him. Now, eternal security and assurance of salvation are two drastically different things. The Bible tells me that when I come to Christ, He gives me everlasting life. It says, no man is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Jesus says that. My position is secure. But that assurance of that decision isn't. And I have those periods of doubt, and we have those times. And the Bible says, and John wrote this, and you don't need to turn there, but in 1 John chapter 5, 13, he says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. These things, this letter, 1 John, that I have written, is to you who are children of God, and I want you to grasp God's truth so that you may know that you have eternal life. As I put God's Word into my heart, as I put God's Word into my head, as I memorize it, as I spend more time in God's Word, He gives me assurance of salvation. He helps me know I'm a child of God. And that comes as I deepen my faith, as I walk closer to Christ and become more like Him, and I study the Scriptures. One day, the Emperor Napoleon was reviewing his troops. And something spooked his horse and it bolted, and one of the soldiers ran out of the ranks and he grabbed the reins and he calmed the horse down and he took Napoleon back to where he was. And Napoleon looked down from his horse and he said, thank you, Captain. And the man instantly knew what had happened. And instead of walking back to the ranks, he walked to where the soldiers, the officers were. And a couple of them looked at him and says, what are you doing here? Get back in the ranks. He said, no, I'm an officer. And he pointed to Napoleon and said, he said so. How do I know I'm a child of God? How do I know I belong to Him? Because He said so. Because He said so. And as I learn God's truth and I apply God's truth to my life, I don't have those doubts. I don't have those wonderings. Am I really a child of God? Do I really belong to Him? Because He said so, I know. I can know for certain because He said so. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. Number two, knowing God's Word gives us victory over Satan, helps us defeat Satan's attacks. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm sure you've heard the spiritual armor preached on many different times. If God keeps me here long enough, you'll hear it again. But in Ephesians chapter 6, as he is going through, Paul is talking about preparing yourself for the spiritual battle that we're in every day. And he talks about appropriating, putting on the spiritual armor every single day. And in the midst of this, in chapter 6, verse 17, he says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take the Word of God. Paul says, God's Word is our Spirit-given sword to help defeat Satan in his attacks, claiming victory because of those attacks. The reformer Martin Luther once said, when I find myself assailed by temptation, I forthwith lay hold of some text of the Bible which Jesus extends to me. We need to have God's Word into our heart and mind so that, as the Bible says, your Word have I hidden in my heart that I might not, what? sin against thee. We put God's word in our heart to help us defeat Satan's attacks. And if we're honest, every one of us is tempted in different areas. Where I may be attacked in what might threaten me to give in to sin, you might not be tempted by at all. So we're all tempted in different ways. And so the key is we have to be honest with ourselves and know where those temptations are and memorize scripture that applies to those situations. If you're tempted to lose your temper and you struggle with your temper, then put passages into your mind that help you with that. Passages like Proverbs 15:18, which says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention." You know, if you're prone to depression, to get discouraged and defeated, memorize verses like the end of Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, where it says, "Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Trust God. You know, if you have a problem with pride, memorize a verse like Philippians 2, 5, which says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." If you're frequently afraid, memorize a verse like 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline." Philippians 4, 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Whatever your sin struggle is, whatever your area of weakness is, God has a defense for you. But we have to be in the Word of God so that we can memorize those things, put them into practice, and have help in defeating Satan's attacks. Put God's Word in. Knowing God's Word helps us defeat Satan's attacks. Third, knowing God's Word enables us to witness to others. Knowing God's Word enables us to witness to others. Because the more I learn the Word of God, the more I grow in my confidence in the Word of God, the more I'm going to have confidence to proclaim God's truth. Tim LaHaye was, I'm sure you know the name, he's written a lot of books and probably read some of his books. Tim LaHaye was counseling a young man who was a sailor. He'd been a Christian for 11 years, and he'd never led anyone to Christ. And he was sharing, as Tim LaHaye was working with him, he says, "I've just never had the opportunity." And he thought that was kind of odd, being that he served on an aircraft carrier with thousands of other soldiers, and often they're confined together. He said, "It just really blew my mind that he never had the opportunity." He said, so instead of instructing him on soul-winning techniques and different things, he said, "I put him on a systematic Bible study plan and memorization plan." He said, "I wanted him to get into the Word of God." And 2 months later, that soldier came into Tim LaHaye's office, and he said, "I led my first person to Christ." And he said, "My problem wasn't lack of opportunity. I didn't know what to do when the opportunity came along." But he says, "Now, because I'm in the Word of God so much, and it's so exciting to me, and I'm growing and I'm learning, I can't help but share Christ. I can't help but share the Word of God because it's in my heart and it's in my life. The more I put Scripture into my life, the more it's going to come out. The more I impute, the more that is going to be shared and come out of my lips." In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." The more I get into the Word of God, the more thrilled I am with the Word of God. And I can't help but share. I can't help but have an outlet and tell others, "Hey, let me tell you what I'm learning in the Word of God. Let me tell you what difference God's Word has made in my life." You know, the more I know the Word of God, the more it helps me and enables me to witness to others. Number four, knowing God's Word helps us know our Heavenly Father. Knowing God's Word helps us know our Heavenly Father. Turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. It's interesting to me that Paul uses this phrase in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. He says, "That I may know Him. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I may know Christ. All right, when Paul writes these letters, he's been a Christian for a long time. He's been an evangelist for a long time. He's been a missionary for a long time. He's been a pastor for a long time. He was growing in his walk with Christ. But he says, my desire is that I may know him, that I may know him passionately. The Amplified Bible translates this verse this way. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. The only way I'm going to know my Heavenly Father is the same way on earth. The only way I get to know anybody is to spend time with him. Spend time with him. And as I spend time in the Word of God, I need to understand I'm not just learning a subject. I'm learning about the author. This is God's Word to me, to you. As we sit down and study the Word of God, know that I am learning about my Father. The hymn writer had that in mind when she prayed this. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Beyond the sacred page I seek thee. Lord, my spirit pants for thee, O living Word. As I was reviewing this sermon this week, a song kept coming to my mind. A song that Steve Green sang a number of years ago. Oh, I want to know you more. And that chorus just kept coming over and over and over. And if you're like me, when you're singing in the shower, you're singing words that aren't right all the time. And so I went and I copied it off and whoops, I got that one wrong. But, you know, do we want to know our Heavenly Father? You know, in that song he says, oh, I want to know you more. Deep within my soul I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you. To feel your heart and know your mind. Looking in your eyes stirs up within me cries that say, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you more. And then it closes with, and I would give my final breath to know you in your death and resurrection. Oh, I want to know you more. Lord, I want to know you more. You know, do you have a desire to know God? Take the time to spend in His Word. And sometimes we sit down and the Bible seems a little bit overwhelming. There are times when I'm studying a message where I have to read and reread and reread and reread and study because it's just like, all right, God, my head's too thick right now. I'm not getting it. There's a man by the name of Dwight, young man, who came to Christ and he went to church. And the pastor said, all right, turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And Dwight started digging in, and he didn't know his Bible at all. So he turns to the front of the Bible and says, all right, 323 is the page, and he gets there, and that's the book of Joshua. Well, then he goes back to the front, and he sees that's divided into two parts. So there's a 323 in the second part, and that's 1 Timothy. By the time he gets to 1 Timothy, the pastor's been to like three different passages since then. He said, you know, I'm not the type that gives up. And Dwight was determined he was going to learn the Word of God. Dwight is better known by the name D.L. Moody. Moody Bible Institute, Moody Church in Chicago bear his name, one of the greatest evangelists of his time. As he came to Christ, he said, I want to know God. I want to put God's Word in my heart and in my mind. And we say, you know, I've actually talked to people who say, well, the Bible is for pastors. It's for Bible teachers. It's for professors. It's not for everyone because I can't get it. In that letter we looked at in 1 John, John writes this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. I'm writing to you, little children. I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, little children. I'm writing to you so that you won't stay little children, so that you'll grow. You know, we'll have that childlike faith and we'll grow. Do you have a desire to know the Word of God? If somebody asks you that question, why do you go to church? Why do you believe the Bible? Why do you say the God you believe in is the only God? Could you give an answer? Could you defend your faith? Or would you say, go talk to the pastor? We need to know the Word of God. God's Word gives us the answers. Don't tell me you don't have time. Because I'll simply tell you, you don't take the time or make the time. Father, may we have a desire to know you. May we have a desire to know your Word, to spend time in your Word, and to understand that it is truly your Word to us. It's your truth given to us. And Lord, if I'm honest, there are a lot of days when I don't take the time to get to know you more. Forgive me for that sin of putting other things before you. Lord, may we have a desire to know you and to know you more and more each day. May we spend that time in your Word that you've given to us, and may we treat it as the precious gift that it is, so that we can know the Bible for an answer and we can be ready to make a defense when someone asks us about the hope we have. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name.